Welcome to the Board Gamer Podcast. I'm back. Welcome back. Hello. Hello, guys.
Good to see you.
Good. I'm back.
You're back.
I feel like I've watched all the episodes and I'm just not in it. And it's sad. I actually want to start by saying how much I enjoyed the Octothorpe podcast. Mm. I thought that was really good.
It was really good.
Yeah.
And I want to thank the guys again from Octothorpe. Yeah.
Matt, Logan and Lance.
Really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great podcast and it was nice to do something with other people.
Yeah.
Rather definitely. Than us three.
Messing around.
Yeah, messing about. Hopefully we'll do some more of that sort of stuff. We're reaching out to some, aren't we? And we've had some good responses in that. So
yeah, we'll get some guests on as well.
Yeah, I think we're going to do that.
Yeah, be fun.
Brings me on nicely because we've got some announcements. So the first one we want to talk about is the podcaster. The podcast itself. I'm just thinking of board game and podcast together in one word there. the podcast itself. So, I mean, we've been trialing this, I guess. We're quite new to this, so we've been just experimenting, trying different things. I think our thing is we're trying to think, like, what should we bring out each week? And then we had a bit of a brainwave that actually we might try and set more of a show type episode. So we're going to do segments in our shows now, and we're going to base it a little bit around our content that we put out each week. But I guess we're just going to flesh it out a little bit more, have a bit of a chat about it, and then we'll release it next week for you, the community, to get involved and get your comments and thoughts on it, which I think will be quite good. Mm. So we're going to start with Game of the Week. That's going to be our first one. Then the community question that we put out. So we're just going to have a little bit of a brief chat, but hopefully it will inspire some ideas and thoughts and comments around the... Everyone's got a good thought and opinion on things, so we do appreciate.
We always get good response on the social media.
Yeah,
we
agree. And I think it's nice to kind of also get involved in the conversation from us as well.
Yeah.
Then we're going to bring out the tabletop news, so something we found out this week that we, or maybe some just some news in general that we like. Then we're going to do the cafe highlight. So one lucky cafe will get a spotlight in our show. We just want to do it because we enjoy the community so much that we want to kind of do that. Our big section is we do the Friday carousel. We're all about finding games and bringing games to gamers. That's one of the things we've been talking about, isn't it?
So, yeah, helping to people to discover games.
Yeah,
isn't it,
exactly. Really? And I think that Friday carousel is not, we've kind of been experimenting with that and we've polished it down to this, how we want the website to be split into, depending on what level of gamer you are, whether you're light, medium and heavy, we've got a game for you to try. So we're going to bring that into the podcast. We're going to have a different theme or mechanic that we're going to kind of base it around, and then we've all got one each, haven't we? So that'd be good. And then finally, we've just at the end, we've got a crowdfunder as well. So something that's been out in the crowdfunding scene that we think is quite good and we think you should have a look at. One other thing we need to say as well is that we plan to do this like the 3 weeks in the month, and then the fourth week we're going to do a special episode around sort of similar to what we've done in the last few episodes, just something a bit different, unique. We, like we say, we're going to try and bring guests on the show. I do realize we reference quite a lot of people, don't we, that we play with and that, so it'd be nice to kind of start introducing some of these so you can get to know them.
Got a guest scheduled in and amongst others, so we've got all that to look forward to.
Should be good fun. So, without further ado, let's start with Game of the Week. So, my Game of the Week was introduced to me through Shut Up and Sit Down. I watch them quite a lot. I enjoy their show, their podcast and whatnot. And they talk about the game Undaunted quite a bit. And then I watched, is it Tabletop Turtle?
Yeah,
Tabletop Turtle. Really cool guy. Really like his stuff as well. He does these tier system, and he put Battle of Britain really high up. I think it might have been an S tier game or something. So I was intrigued. I was thinking, is it all worth the hype? So I bought it a while ago. Not got around to playing it, but this week I finally played it, and it was good.
Did you like it?
I enjoyed it very much.
Have you played any of the other ones in the series?
That was the first one.
But you know what is interesting? I've heard another opinion on that, and someone said out of the Undaunted, Battle of Britain was like in the middle for them.
They can go away. No, joking.
They were saying, I don't know, I haven't played it yet, but they were saying Normandy is the one that you want to try.
I've heard mixed reviews about the two. Okay. It's like you buy one or the other sort of thing. But I think actually you could have both.
There's Stalingrad as well?
Stalingrad, I think if I'm right, don't quote me, I think is a 4-player one. So
okay.
I think a lot of people get that for that reason. And then these smaller box ones are the 2 players. Now, I would say when I first got it out and I started reading the rules, it's quite a lengthy setup because you've got lots of little grid systems you have to set up and you have to set the token. So it takes a while to set up.
Mm.
We read through the rules and it was just like, I felt I was having to repeat myself a few times because I was not quite sinking in. But actually, it's quite a simple game. And I was like, okay, I've got this now. And it's a bit sort of standard deck builder. You pull 4 cards, you play 4 cards. Well, you actually use 1 for initiative to see who goes first in that part of the fight.
Okay. Mm.
And then you play 3 cards and you have these little tiny planes and you're moving them around. You've got a move and an attack. So the move, maneuver and attack. So it's like a hex grid. And if you maneuver, you turn it left or right. But if you maneuver, you can't attack. So you have to decide whether you're going to move and attack or maneuver and go around. So I really enjoyed it. It felt like a proper fight that I was having, a proper little dog fight in air, like with all these planes swooping around. And then the best bit about it is like lots of scenarios in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So you, different missions. So some are, you just got to try and attack the end and take out neutralize two enemy planes. Some are like, you have to take out the ships on the ground with bombers. Some are like, you have to take out the anti-air or something like that. So there's lots of different scenarios you have to play out.
Oh, sweet. That sounds good.
And the Luftwaffe and the RAF have 2 different objectives. So it's really good. Nice. Really good game.
You know what? I actually have Undaunted a lot to thank. Although I've never played the game.
Okay.
It actually got me into board gaming.
Oh, really?
Bizarrely, yeah. Basically, I was watching this IGN and they do a 10 of the year. So they show like all their movies, all their games, and then they just introduce board games into it as well. And when I watched it, they had Undaunted as their 10 game of the year for board game. And I was like, I didn't even know like board games was such a thing at the time. And although I never played it, that's what kicked me on to actually start having a look into it. So,
nice. Definitely worth a game. I would say as well, like it's one of my, I really love Osprey Games as a publisher. Really, really good.
What other stuff have they done?
Village Rails, which I talked about. London, which is Martin Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did that Cryptid. If you've, it's like
the
hidden monster, and you've got to try and find it. So it's got quite a few. They've got quite a few good games. So their production's always really nice. The game's really nice. They're good. I'm looking forward to, they're bringing out a futuristic Undaunted this year. I can't remember what the year is, but it's sometime in the future. Hoping it might be at UKGE, and I'll pick a copy up. But let's hope.
We'll see.
So that's my game of the week.
Nice.
So next up is our community question with Jake.
Okay, so this week we're going to discuss the community question. What is the best budget board game? What I mean by that is the idea that there's a lot of people out there that have approached me, I'm sure you've had the same, and they're not really heavy board gamers. They don't have a shelf like this, but they've seen the show and they've thought, oh, I'd love to get a board game. No, what would you recommend? And they ask like for a recommendation, probably on the idea that they're going to buy one game. You know, they want to get a new board game. They haven't played board games for a few years. All they know is Scrabble, Cludo, Monopoly. Mm. And they think, all right, what's a good board game? But obviously, I can't go and recommend them something that's like 50 plus because chances are they're not going to want to spend 50 plus pounds on a board game. So trying to think of what do you think is a good board game that is a good price, good value, and maybe even good for people that are looking to get one game. My thought was something along the lines of Splendor. It's not too expensive. You get quite a lot of game for your price, and you get a lot of replayability for your price. What about yourselves?
I think a great suggestion is just a small box game.
Yeah.
So something like Sea Salt and Paper or Scout or any of the Oink games, really, because one, they're cheap, so you haven't got that outlay, and also they're not too scary. So yeah. They're introducing you into the hobby, but it just gives you a little flavour of what it can offer.
Yeah. I guess my question to your question is, best budget being still for a beginner or somebody that likes a little bit of strategicness but still doesn't want to buy loads of games?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's some people that will, I've had people say to me, I love that game that you're playing, and they loved it because there was just a massive board, loads of pieces everywhere, and they were like, that just looks so cool. Mm. But obviously it's not a beginner game. But if it's going to be one game in your collection, do you go for something a bit bigger for that sort of thing? So in my mind, I was thinking of something like the Taverns of Tiefenthal, that sort of thing, where you get a lot in the... Like the mod quests where you get a lot in the box for one game. Do you know what I mean? You get the modules.
Yeah, it's good value, isn't it?
Yeah. What is it, about 30, 35, 40
maybe,
quid?
Yeah, I think 30 quid, I think it is.
Well, I suppose the key thing is that budget. So is a budget necessarily a lower priced game you're getting quite a lot of bang? So there's our thoughts on our best possible budget board game, but we'd love to see what the community think. Either reply in the comments of this video or look out in the following week on our social post, and please leave your comments there.
Thanks very much, that was good, I enjoyed it. I look forward to seeing the comments. So now we have tabletop news. We go to Matt.
Yeah, so my tabletop news, I don't know if anyone has seen, but Board Game Geek have announced their annual Golden Geek winners for last year.
Nice.
Has anyone seen the winners yet?
I did see some, yeah.
Oh, you have seen some? Yeah. Okay, so what I was thinking was I was going to go through each one and... not each one, I'll just do the major categories and you can guess the winners. If you know Tim, just... keep it on.
Oh, right, okay. I can't remember them, but...
don't look, Jay.
Okay.
sneaking. So we got...
This is a board game. We're playing one now.
Live. So we've got two-player game. We've got Sky Team, Star Wars The Deck Builder, or Undaunted.
Yeah, Sky Team would have gone for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Undaunted Battle with the Britain?
That was runner-up. Yeah, but it was third out of the... But there was 8 nominees per one, so not a bad shout.
Cool.
The artwork presentation was... The winner was Castles of Burgundy Special Edition.
Of course.
Bit disappointing, all honesty, on that one. Just my opinion, because I'm like...
It's already out as a game.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think there were some other great ones there. Voidfall and Earth were the runners-up.
Okay.
Co-op team was Sky Team again.
Wow. No.
The expansion was Ark Nova Marine Worlds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, I haven't tried
the expansion.
What was
the runners-up for that one?
Lost Runes of Arnak and Cascadia.
Okay.
Yeah, the Cascadian one is actually pretty good. I played that. It's decent.
Oh, nice.
Innovative was Hegemony.
Okay.
With runner-up being Sky Team and Earthborn Rangers.
Goodness me, Sky Team was smashing
Sky Team
it.
Smashed it. But Sky Team's an amazing game.
So what won it?
Hegemony.
Hegemony.
Yeah.
See, what I've heard about Earthborn Rangers is I think that should have won because it's so different.
Yeah,
well, I guess Hegemony is as a theme and what it's about, but that Earthborn Rangers sounds so good.
I know. Okay, so this one, Light Game of the Year, Far Away, Gnar, or Thunder Road? Which one are you going for?
We're all going for the same, really.
All right. Let's go with Thunder Road.
Yeah, Thunder Road.
Yeah, Thunder Road. They are all amazing games, every one of them.
I'm hoping that's going to be at UKGE.
Oh, Thunder Road is so fun, man.
Okay, medium, we've got Castles of Burgundy, Earth, and the White Castle.
I'm going to go
So you go first.
White Castle.
I'm going to go for Earth on this one.
Jay takes the winner on that one.
Yes!
Overhyped.
This one's interesting because this one I did not expect. So we've got Darwin's Journey, Dune Imperium, or hegemony?
Darwin's journey. I've heard hegemony about it nonstop.
Hegemony
again.
Yeah, it was hegemony.
Really?
I thought it was going to be Dune Imperium.
Dune Imperium's good, but I've been hearing like a lot about Darwin's journey. I thought it'd be
I have as well.
Party game, we've got That's Not Hat as the winner. Jake, your favourite Dixit Disney edition was runners up.
Controversial question coming up.
I hate Dixit.
I don't know if anyone's played any Prince and Play games, but Waypoints was the winner there.
Oh, really?
Solo game was Legacy of You.
Oh, yeah, that looks quite good, actually.
It looks really good. Earthborn really cool. Rangers, again, the runner up there. Thematic game was Hegemony. War game, your boy, Undaunted.
Game of the week.
And best podcast.
Board Gamer.
No, it was One Stop Co-op Shop.
Which, oh, yeah.
To be fair, I started listening to it. It's really, really good.
Oh, is it? Yeah, yeah. And isn't it by someone... Who was it by? It's the guys with the like 8-bit...
Yes. No pun included.
Yes, it. No pun included.
I think that's it.
That's it.
Cut that if we got that wrong. Yeah. And the best board game app was Unmatched.
Oh.
I didn't know it was an app.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. So there are the winners on the annual Golden Geek Awards.
That was brilliant. Loved that. Nice. That was good. Oh, wow. My beer. And yours. That's cool. We do half a podcast and our beer magically like restocks. Yep. So we now have our board game and brew, our cafe highlight, and we're back to Jake.
Okay, so this week I wanted to highlight Suffolk's first independent board game cafe, Shuffle Cafe. Now, what's really interesting here is it's the first main independent one. Suffolk's quite a rural area.
Mm.
Of course, there's still quite a few towns there, but it's not quite to the extent of, say, Manchester or Birmingham or London or Leeds. So being a board game cafe in an area where it isn't very heavily dominated is quite a big thing. And being that central hub for any of the board gamers that are in that part of the country. And also just looking across their website, it's so clean, it's so smart. They're an award-winning board game cafe as well. They've got a great menu, looks really smart. They charge £6 for standard admission for the first 2 hours, and then you just pay a pound extra.
Oh, it's not too bad at all,
It's not too bad. And they've got a huge array of board games, and it's a very, very welcoming atmosphere. Definitely a place that I'd like to go and check out, and I would recommend that you go and check it out as well, especially if you're going to be in that part of the country. When you look at a board game cafe, what's something that you look forward to seeing?
Beer.
Beer.
No, just a good array of games, really.
Yeah.
Probably that's the main thing for me.
I like the atmosphere. You know, when you've seen other people. I think when we've been to some in the past, we've booked like the bigger tables and brought our own games. But sometimes when you go and order your drinks and you see everyone playing a game, it's you kind of can't help but look to see what they're playing, and I quite enjoy the whole community side feel of it. Do you know what I mean?
You know what? A bit off topic this, but I'd love to do a podcast in a board game cafe.
We should so do that.
Yeah, that would be a great idea. We should definitely do that.
Yeah.
And just looking across some of the reviews for Shuffle Board Game Cafe, they reviewed 4.9 on Google.
Nice.
And that's 121 Google reviews.
Nice.
So everyone really likes the atmosphere they've got going on there. Nice. Definitely got a welcoming atmosphere. I think it's definitely a part, a board game cafe that people should check out.
What kind of stuff have they got on the menu? Anything?
Well, yeah. One thing that's really interesting that they do is they've got a whole amount on the website for cocktails, spirits, different types of alcohol that you might want. So it's obviously a place that's going to be very, very welcoming, and definitely a place you could relax in the evening as well, play a game, order a couple cocktails, just a really relaxed atmosphere.
It's very interesting you mentioned about it being a rural place, because we always talk about those board game cafes working really well in the cities.
Mm.
We think of like Manchester, London, even like Bristol, Bath, Birmingham itself. But these rural ones, you kind of wonder if they do it well, you know what I mean? But I think actually providing more things to do in those rural areas is actually a really good thing. And I think it's great to see that they're getting lots of support, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. If you're down in the Suffolk area, definitely go and check out Shuffle Board Game Cafe.
So we're on to our highlight of the podcast, Creme de la Creme.
Yeah.
And this is called our board game showcase. So in this, we've got one game each, one light, one medium, and one heavy. This theme is Ahoy, Captain. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to your games. I'm going to start it off with a Alexander Pfister game for my light selection. And it's a game called Port Royal.
Great choice.
Really good game. You played it?
No, I haven't, no.
Sad times. It's a really quite cool sort of card drafting in terms of like you get these cards, you hire crew to help you, and then you kind of do this push your luck. These ships come out and you've got to try and make sure you can fight them off before you crumble and die, maybe. I don't know. don't know what it is, but yeah, it's just a really, really fun, easy game. What I like about it is it's quite quick to set up. They do that sort of, I don't know if you've like played Bonanza and those sort of games where it's like double-sided, so one side's the coin and one side's the... So you can... I think it's just 120 cards in the whole box, so it's quite small. But yeah, I've just had so much fun playing it with different like player counts as well.
What does it play for?
How many?
Yeah.
2 to 5.
Okay.
I did write that down. So different player counts, it's great. I've played it quite a few times and just enjoyed it. It's just such a good fun, simple game for a pirate themed game.
I do like Port Royal. That's the one where you've got like a tableau, right?
Yeah.
And then you're bidding on characters, if I've got that right.
You can buy characters with money.
That's it. I've played it probably a while ago now, but I do remember I actually put off playing that for a long time because the artwork isn't quite to like your modern standards of what you might expect from artwork. And I remember a friend of mine was always saying, hey, should we play Port Royal? And I kind of put it off. But when I finally played it, I was like, man, this game is really good. I should have played this a lot sooner. Definitely, definitely recommend you to try it.
No, I really want to give it I really like Alexander Pfister games. And yeah, I mean, it sounds really good from what you're saying. If you're just going to compare it to another game, what would you say it's similar to?
Well, the main mechanic, I guess, is the pushy look side of it. So a much lighter version of something like Quacks, where you're like, in terms of that pushy look element, you kind of really want to put that last ship out, but you just don't know if you're going to do it or not. It's got these quite, you know, that sort of typical, if there's a tax increase and you've got more than so many cards, you have to like call your cards and things like that. So that's got that sort of mechanic in it.
Yeah.
It's more of party fun, sort of. I wouldn't say a social party game, but it's a more fun, easygoing game. A good filler game between, if you're going back to back with heavy games and you fancy a bit of a break. Port Royal was a great choice for that.
Yeah, and it's not a very long game either. I mean, any time I've played it, I don't remember it going on for a long time.
No.
It's just, if you're new to card games or you're looking for something light, or maybe you're new to games at all and you like the pirate kind of nautical theme and you're looking for just like a nice little game, even like a game you could take to the pub, because it's just a card game at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You could easily just fit that in your hoodie pocket, in your bag, in your backpack, maybe even your jeans pocket, depends on how big your pockets are. But yeah, you could
slightly big pockets.
You could fit Port Royal.
How is the box? Does it just fit the cards, or is it one of them ones?
Slightly bigger than that. Yeah, when I've seen it, it's not huge, but it's not like a small. Big coat pocket.
Yeah,
maybe you can get it in there. Yeah,
and it's a fun game. Like, I can imagine going to the pub and playing that, and it would be a lot of fun because it's such a simple game. And that they really do the push your luck element pretty well. I think they've done a good job with Port Royal.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And definitely a good light game.
Yeah, when you hire the crew, if I remember rightly, because you're drawing these cards and you're hoping you're not going to go bust, basically. Mm-hmm. And then when you kind of stop, you can then choose to take what you've got and hire those, you know, and that sort of thing. So It's a great, if you're into card games as well, if you're somebody new to gaming but you love those sort of like, is it what's the 21 game, is it Blackjack or those sort of games in card games, this is like a more thematic version of that, and it's got extra elements to it, so if you're into like just standard deck of cards type game, it's a great switch to something if you wanted to get into board games.
Definitely, good shout.
Nice, I like it.
Cool. So we're into medium with you, Matt. Medium Matt.
So my medium game for this week in that pirate nautical theme is Feed the Kraken. So Feed the Kraken, I've got the list of designers. Excuse me, I'm going to have to read this because there's quite a few. I've got Mikael Chainu, Dr. Hans Joachim Ho, Tobias Imik, and the publisher is Fun Tales. So nice. Apologies there if I've completely butchered your name.
I like the tent though.
I like that guy's name is called Doctor something.
Yeah, no, he's very legit. Nice. But so Feed the Kraken is a hidden role game where you're playing, it's a big group game, so it's from 5 to 11. You're all playing as sailors, and there's navigators as well. So there's certain people that want to get to certain areas. There's pirates that want to go and steal things. But also there's one person who is trying to feed everyone to the Kraken. So you're navigating yourself along the way. And it's just a game where you're just talking to each other and you're trying to convince some person to go this way. And then the person who's controlling the Kraken, he's also secretly trying to like move agendas to how they want it, and if they get them to a certain space, then they have to do there's like little cards that explain that, oh, on this space you need to go to here before you can go and get the treasure maybe. It's really good. It even gets to the point, there's a great bit where there's one point where the person who is trying to feed everyone to the Kraken, they can bring someone in. Everyone has to close their eyes, and they put the hand in the middle of the table, and whoever it is has to pretend they've got the tentacles and just tickle the person's hand who they're trying to get onto being with them and join them. It's an amazing game. I think you'd all really like it. For who I'd recommend this to is, if you like hidden role games, you're going to love this. I think that's it's kind of like Marmite, isn't it? Like the hardcore board gamers, a lot of people don't like hidden role games, so if that is your flavour, you'll really like this. It's not too heavy, but it's not light enough that there's not enough going on. So I think everyone across all different light, medium, heavy gamers will enjoy it. And yeah, I think if you like talking, you're going to like this game.
Nice.
Trying to convince people. Yeah,
I like that. Bit so Among
it
Us.
Sounds a bit like a mafia style of
thing. Yeah, Deception, Murder in Hong Kong, that kind of style. There's a regular package and there's a deluxe package. So the regular one, you get everything is just cardboard. Where the deluxe one, you get this huge ship and you get this huge kraken as well as part of it. So if you're interested, I think the deluxe one is really hard to get hold of, but
nice.
I'd recommend.
The bit I love is the, like you said, tickling the hand. I think I think that wouldn't get old.
Yeah.
I think each time you do it, how do you not laugh when you like, and someone just comes and tickles your hand and you're just like make a little.
Yeah, I think what's worth recommending is, it says 5 to 11, but everyone that I've heard say has said the more that you can get, the better.
Oh, okay.
This game. Wow. Yeah. Because it can just get crazy.
I could imagine playing that 11 as well. Goodness me. So why is it a medium game?
I think it's because there's a lot of like little details that you have to do. So there's like, as you're going along on the ship, there's different objectives that you have to complete as you go along. And it's, I think if the game was simplified to just be the pirates need to get to here, the sailors need to get to here, and the Kraken just wants to get eat people, then the game would probably be a light. But there's little objectives, and there's also, you can to go onto the game, you can also throw people overboard.
Oh, right.
So they can also influence the game as well and help the Kraken. Or there's sometimes where they can go AFK. But I think everyone that I've spoken to, normally a lot of AFK games, people get a bit annoyed, like, oh, why are you knocking me out? But this is the one exception where people don't mind going out on this one. It's really interesting just to watch as a spectacle.
It's just like Mafia then. Nautical Mafia.
Cool. Nice, I like that. Nice. I'm going to check that out.
That's my medium game.
Nice, I like it. So, finally, we have Heavy Game with Jake.
So, for this week's theme, with the nautical pirate theme for a Heavy Game, I wanted to go with a classic Uwe Rosenberg game, Le Havre, which I think most of us have had a go at playing.
I've not played it.
Have you not?
No, I've been... Wow! I wanted to play it.
It's such a classic as well.
I know.
Le Havre is awesome. I've played it a few times. I've even played it solo. And it's just such an awesome game. The general idea of the game is that it is the French city of Le Havre.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went there last year.
Well, there you go.
And you didn't play it there?
No. It's,
wow.
And what's really cool is essentially throughout the game, everyone just has their own little boat. And... you imagine there's two sides of the board. There's this side of the board. I'll do it this way for everyone watching. There's this side of the board and this side of the board. And your boat just moves across these spaces throughout the middle. And when you go take a space, you can do one of the things there, but you can't go where someone else is. So it's moving like that. And when you get to the end, you need to feed your staff. So as the game goes on, you're taking all these spaces. Now, this is a game of tons and tons and tons of little resource tokens. There's loads of fish tokens. There's loads of like cows and other different stuff. But the main meat of the game is a whopping big deck of building cards. So there are different building spaces that you can then move your staff to or your meeple as you're going across through the shipyard of Le Havre. And you can send them to those buildings. Those buildings let you do things. Like, for example, you can smoke your fish instead of having them normal fish. So you turn the tile over... and now when you sell it at the end, you can sell it for more money.
Okay.
And you just want to get points for that. But throughout the game, you're going to end up having buildings and buildings and buildings. You can upgrade your ships, so you get cards which are your ships, which let you ship more stuff at the end. So this whole time, you're trying to build this economy. Other people can use your buildings, which then you get a little bonus for if they use your building. And there's this massive big pile of all these little coins, and you want to collect as many as you can. I remember I had one game and managed to get all of the coins. All the coins in the game. And I just had loads of boats and just doing all the shipping. The game as a base in itself is epic. It's just epic. And then Awesome of Uwe Rosenberg did a whole deck of like black market cards, kind of like as an expansion. They're really cool. Something I really loved about the artwork as well on this game is, even though the artwork is simple, really clever, all of the cards actually sync up. So if you put them all together, it actually looks like one dock along, and the buildings sitting next to each other along this dock. So as you lay out your tableau, it looks as part of the board. It just looks really cool. What makes the game hard and heavy is there's just tons and tons of planning. You're sitting there thinking, do I need to get the abattoir and then I need to ship beef, or do I need to then convert things to clothing? Do I need to then get that? If I go there, is someone going to take the fish that's building up on that port? Should I go there? Is someone going to take it? And then at the end, it's like, man, do I have enough money coming in to even feed my staff? Because Uwe Rosenberg, if you played any Uwe game, always likes you to feed your people. So
does it have that Uwe sort of like as well? Like, he loves the minus points if you don't.
Yeah, so you can get debts as well. Okay. So the whole time you're a little bit stressed going, have I got enough to do everything? And there's loads of planning and nothing's bad. There's just this massive deck of different building cards. So you want to play it again thinking, oh, if I get these little buildings, and it's nice when you get a little system, you're like, I can collect my own fish. I can send them to the smokery. And then that gives me a discount on feeding my people. And I can...
ship
so you can get discounts for stuff.
Nice.
And that's also a great feeling. I think in my first game I was so stressed of feeding my people, I just kept getting all the discounts to feed them.
That's so
but
funny.
heavy game, fully nautical theme, really cool. You guys got to play it.
I definitely want to play it.
Yeah, definitely. I know a lot of Juve games are very sandboxy. Does it feel the same? Yeah.
Yeah, it's up to you what buildings you build and what buildings you do it. And build.
Okay.
Yeah, really good shout. Definitely recommend that as the heavy game this week. Maybe not everyone's cup of tea on the artwork, but I think it's still quite smart.
Well, you know what you're going to get with Rosenberg, aren't you?
Yeah, so definitely.
It's a real classic game, and it doesn't miss the beat. For if you like Uwe Rosenberg games, you're going to love La Havre.
Nice. Thanks very much, Jake. That was perfect. So thanks for that, guys. Thanks for all your research and everything. I think that was three really, really good games in that space. So we had Port Royal, Feed the Kraken, and La Havre. Ahoy, Captain. So moving on, we've got our last part, which is Back the Board. We want to highlight a crowdfunding game. We want more games. It's just such a fun community to be a part of. So we're going to look for games that we like the look of between the three of us and kind of share that. And I think, Matt, you've got our game this week.
Yeah, so my game that I wanted to highlight for crowdfunding was Hollywood 1947.
Nice.
So this is another Hidden Role game.
Yeah.
I like my social deduction games this week. So this one is you are based in Hollywood and you play as like different cast people as part of the cinema scene back then. But what was happening a lot was communist messages was getting filtered into Hollywood movies. So you play as everyone that's trying to decipher who the person is that's
putting him in.
Wanting to throw the agenda in. There's been a few ones, I think, similar in the past. There's been, if you heard of Salem 1692, Deadwood 1876, and Bristol 1350, the same guys who have made that.
They like their dates.
Yeah,
they love a date game. Yeah.
Place and date.
I think they, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they might be Hidden Role games as well.
Yeah.
The backing is going amazing so far. I think they're like over 1,000% past what they...
Wow.
When was going for, really? So yeah, it's going really well.
That's epic.
And yeah, from everything that I've read online, it looks a really cool game. So that's my one for the Back the Board of the week.
Nice. Cool.
Look forward to checking that out.
Yeah, definitely go and check it out. So I hope this is good content. We'll see how this goes, but this is our new format. We hope you enjoyed it. All the best. On to the next one. I think you're hosting next week, aren't you, Jake?
That's it. Next week, we've got a lot to look forward to, and we'll see you on next week's episode.
See you guys.
Ahoy, Captain.